been there to the promised land, and he was looking on the on that valley, but he could not get in because he did something. He just do something which God did not allow him to do that. But because that God did not allow him to get into the promised land. And who did God raise up? Joshua and Caleb. And these two are the ones who brought the children of Israel in the land. But then in that land, there is some Joshua died, okay? And just when Joshua died, that's where Judges started. So this story is from the time that came that Joshua died, and the time of King Saul. King Saul, remember the first king of Israel. So this book of Judges is within that. It's about 350 years of span. And the Bible says that that was the time when the children of Israel, it says there in Judges, the last part of Judges, that everyone do what is right for them. Because there is no king, and Judges is the only one that God raises the people to judge them. But for us, when we hear about Judges, we think the word Judges, we think that the judges are the ones judging them, right? When they make a mistake, the judge will come in and judge them. But in their era, judges are also mercenaries. They are also soldiers. They are ordered by God to lead the troops and to kill the prize that are not supposed to be there. Okay, so that's the span of Judges. And in Judges chapter 3, are you all there, in Judges already? Genesis, what's next? Exodus and Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and then Judges. Okay, so turn to Judges chapter 3, verse 12. Verse 12, are you there? Again, I mentioned to you, this is the goriest story in the Bible. Gories or something. Okay? Are you there? Judges chapter 3, verse, what did I say? 12. All right. Okay. I'm going to read it in my version. Probably, if you have the American Standard Version, it might be gory for you because they use different words in there. Okay, but if you have the New King James or NIV, you'll be okay. All right. Verse 12. It says, "Once again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and because they did this evil, the Lord gave Eglon, king of Moab, power over Israel, giving the Ammonites and the Amalekites to join him. Eglon came and attacked Israel, and they took possessions of the city of Palms. The Israelites were subject to Eglon, king of Moab, for 18 years. Again, the Israelites cried out to the Lord and gave them a deliverer, Ehab, a left-handed man, the son of Gera, the Benjamites. The Israelites sent him with a tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Ehab had made a double-edged sword about a foot and a half long, which he strapped to his right thigh under his clothing." So notice that Eglon is from the tribe of Benjamite. And he was called to go to King Eglon. Ehab is from the tribe of Benjamite, and he was called a left-handed. Notice that this really threw up a lot of theologians because of this word, a left-handed. And he was called to bring a gift to King Eglon, which is the Moabites, which have a control of Israelite for 18 years. So here, and he is a left-handed man. He has a knife on the right thigh. So that's where there's a lot of discrepancies in the commentary for that one. Okay, but hopefully we can look up the reason. Again, where are we now? 15. Again, the Israelite cried out to the Lord, and he gave them a deliverer, Ehab, a left-handed man, the son of Gera, the Benjamite. The Israelite sent him with a tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Ehab had made a double-edged sword about a foot and a half long, which he strapped to his right thigh under his clothing. He presented the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab, who was a very fat man. Dang. That king is a fat man. After Ehab had presented the tribute, he sent on their way the men who had carried it. So there's men that's carrying the gift, but the Bible doesn't say anything about what kind of gift is that. And he sent on their way the men who had carried it. At the idols near Gilgal, he himself turned back and said, "I have a secret message for you, O king." The king said, "Quiet," and all his attendant left him. So they presented a gift, right? And when they presented the gift, and then the servant of Ehad of Eglon left, and he said, "You know what? Ehad said, you know what? I have a gift for you, King Eglon." Right? Are you with me? "I have a secret message for you, O king." The king said, "Quiet," and all the attendants left him. Ehad then approached him while he was still sitting alone in the upper room of his summer palace and said, "I have a message from God for you." As the king rose from his seat, Ehad reaches with his left hand, drew the sword from his right thigh, and plunged it into the king's belly. Dang. See that? Even the handle sank in after the blade. The handle of the knife even sank in the belly of king. Even the handle sank in after the blade, which came out his back. Ehab did not pull the sword out, and the fat closed it over it. So the whole knife, it just sunk into the belly of the king, and that it closes, that nobody could even take it out. Then Ehab went out to the porch. He shut the doors of the upper room behind him and locked them. After he had gone, the servant came and found the doors of the upper room locked. They said, "He must be revealing himself in the inner room of the house, relieving himself." Some commentary, some version, is that maybe he went to poop because they can smell. Right? After, then Ehab, where are we now? 35 and 24. After he had gone, the servant came and found the doors of the upper room locked. They said, "He must be relieving himself in the inner room of the house." And they said that he might be in the restroom, relieving himself. And they waited to the point of embarrassment. But when he did not open the doors of the room, they took a key and unlocked them. There they saw their Lord falling to the floor dead. While they waited, Ehab got away. He passed by the idols and escaped to Sarai. When he arrived there, he blew a trumpet in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went down with him from the hills, with him leading them. Follow me, he ordered, for the Lord had given Moab, your enemy, into your hands. So they followed him down, and taking possession of the fords of the Jordan that led to Moab, they allowed no one to cross over. At that time, they struck down about 10,000 Moabites, all vigorous and strong. Not a man escaped. That day, Moab was made subject to Israel, and the land had peace for 80 years. And then after that, Shamgar, after Ehud came Shamgar, son of Hanat, who struck down 600 Philistine with an ox god. He too saved Israel. Shall we pray? Lord, we come to you this morning, and we have this story about Ehud and Eglon. Father, we ask for your revelation, Lord. We ask for your Holy Spirit to help us understand this story, Lord God, that sometimes we ask ourselves, why do you put it here, Lord God? But Father, we thank you, God, that there is always that your word inspired us. And we thank you this morning, Lord, that that we may be able, Lord, to study your word. Help us, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. So this story, and the title of the message is Ehud and the Fat King. And this story about the children of Israel, and in the last part of the book of Judges, it says there, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw it. So at that time there is no king. And the Bible says that everyone did whatever they saw is good. And I was thinking that maybe I think we are on that stage. We are on that stage that people like that's going on in Ferguson or any other back east, they do whatever they feel is doing it. They sow and they feel it's good, they'll do it. And I believe that's where we are in that stage. We're getting in that era. And I don't know what's gonna happen in September, because there's so many things that's gonna revolve on the month of September. And I hope that this will help us prepare. Brother Vic, it help us to prepare for that month. Amen. So the story here is that when the children of Israel, they did, because the first judges that was called by God from that time, the death of Joshua was Othniel. Remember Othniel? Othniel, the first judge that ruled the children of Israel when there is no king. Othniel, the story of Othniel that's before is in chapter 3, verse 7. And I will read it to you. If you can open your Bible, just go along with me. It says in chapter 3, verse 7, it says, because it's good to see the background, right, of what we are studying. So it says, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served Baals and the Asherah. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that he sold them into the hand of Cushan Rishathaim, the king of Aram, Naharaim, to whom the Israelites were subject for eight years. But when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, not Othniel, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. So that's the first king that God raised on that period of time. And now when the children of Israel, they went back to their own ways, and the sin that God really get mad to the children of Israel, because it's the sin of worshiping other gods. So sometimes I ask myself, God was really furious when his children worship other God. And sometimes we think that when we adulterize, when we love other people, that's the kind of sin that God is furious, because he experienced that. God experienced that kind of sin when the children of Israel worship other God. And then God uses their enemy to discipline the children of Israel. And so the same thing with his children, the Israelite, when they sin again. So he raised up Othniel, delivered them. And now, after 18 years, when Othniel died, the children of Israel are back to their kind of attitude. They sin against God. They worship other gods. And the story that we have is that when God raised up what's his name? Ehud. When God raised up Ehud, and that he specifically emphasized that Ehud is a left-handed a judge. Is anybody here in the house that are left-handed? Ken. Most commentator, they say that if a left-handed person, it's a disadvantage for a left-handed person. But some other, here we can learn this today, that's it's different. Okay. And some says that a left-handed person is a privileged person. And some says that a left-handed person is a deformed in his left hand. But what about, it says that God takes the weak and makes them strong? That's God's idea, that God takes the weak and make them strong. Would you rather have God takes your weakness and make you strong? Amen. So with all of this, the story, there is some kind of a negative aspect with this, but God is able to tell us that even though nobody, I don't know, does anybody hear about the sermon in Judges? I never heard. Me too. Because that's the only sermon that I heard, is just one for Pastor Steve. But let's go back to our study. But King, in some point in Judges 20, verse 16, it says, that talks about 700 men from the tribe of Benjamin, who are called chosen men, who were left-handed. Think about that. 700 men from the tribe of Benjamin are all left-handed. And one of them was Ehud. So think about that. And regardless, at the end of the day, despite all the opinions of different theologians, we know that this guy is a left-handed. So the Israelite get Ehud to take the gift to King Eglon, because he's one of the left-handed 700 men of the tribe of Benjamin. Can you think of somebody that are left-handed? Anybody? Your mom? No? Your dad? Your sister? Nanay rin? I think same thing with Clinton. Barack is left-handed too. I study. Who else? Come here, sister. Come here. He's left-handed too. Oh, Kent. Oh, there you go. There you go. Double. Ken is left-handed too. Who else? Huh? Tim is left-handed. Wow. That's something. So here, go back to our story. Well, do you think we can learn something here new? Or you guys already know about this story? So not this is not a typical story, not a typical parables that we learn. It's not like Noah or Noah the Ark and any other like Joseph story, right? And this is something that we can look at and the implication of for us in all of this story, this drama that we can learn is that I see a man that is ordained by God to help these people for their problems, for their predicament, and furthermore I see a plan unfold to the children of Israel, and I'm sure it's gonna be for us also as we look to this next month. There's gonna be something that we can form, and maybe we can apply that to prepare ourselves, right, for next month. So I see there are four steps to ensure that your plan or my plan will be successful. Okay. Do you guys have a plan for what's going to happen next month? No? Just kiss, shira, whatever will be, will be. You didn't buy any canned food? Huh, Marami? Just for our sake here this morning, if you don't prepare any, if you don't buy any food, I suggest you better have a contact with Sister Pia. there's plenty of food for the whole tribe in there, huh? Okay. So, but I see four steps to ensure that our plan is successful. Whatever happened, it may happen or not, right, Brother Ray? It may or may not, but at least you have a plan, I have a plan, and the church, if you don't have any place to go, come back here. Probably Sister Pia will be graceful enough to bring some food here. Amen. So I think that the first thing that we can learn from the children of Israel, because this is their way of life. After they sin, they will cry out to the Lord, and the Lord will deliver them over and over again. So we can find, or we can learn, that when they start sinning, the Lord used Eglon, King Eglon, to give a hardship to the children of Israel. But when the children of Israel cried out, the first thing that they do, they cried out. They cried out for help. So I think the first step to ensure that your plan is successful is that first, we need to be, in order to be successful, we have to ask God for help. Amen. Don't ask God after you have done something. Ask Him before you do something, before you do your first step, before you implement your own plan. But before you do that, you have to ask God first. Amen? And sometimes what we do, when every, you know, we have our own plan, and if our plan is not working, then we ask God. But God says, you know what, before you do something, ask me first. Ask for help. To be successful, ask God for help. And that's what the children of Israel did, is that they cried out for help. There was some memory about recognition that God had delivered them in the case of Othniel, and they delivered them. But then, after 18 years, they are back again. After Othniel died, they are back again to their own self, worshiping other God. And that when we come to God in prayer, anytime and ask Him for guidance, is that we are praying, we even though it's a short sentence, but when we are walking in a situation, is a good first step is to ask for help from Him before you do something. Amen? Before your task or the event will come, come to the Lord for prayer. Amen? And to be successful, we need to ask God for help, for His leading. He gave us prayer. And that I just wanna recognize Sister Becky for giving us that idea to come last Friday. And even on Saturday when we start praying. And it's powerful when we come to Him. And especially in unity, in as a church. Amen? So the first thing, in order for us to be successful in our plan, is to ask God for help. And number two, to be successful, there's a verse in there, Kent. It says in verse 15, it says, again, the Israelites cried out to the Lord, and He gave them a deliverer. Number two, the second part is that to be successful, we need to utilize our strength. And the verse in Judges chapter 3, verse 21, it says, Ehud reaches with his left hand and drew the sword from his right thigh and plunged it into the king's belly. Belly? Belly. Like I mentioned before, there was a special acknowledgement of Ehud was a left-handed. Amen? Regardless whether Ehud was disabled in his right hand or was a left-handed or was a skillful person. See, left-handed person are skillful. They are versatile. They have so many various strength in their life. And Ehud, his left-handedness was strength for him. See, maybe even the elements are surprised with the attack coming from the left as opposed to the right was the strength of Ehud. And it seems like a small detail, but the Bible does mention it. And that's why we need to pay attention when does the Bible mention that. Even though little things, but because of the left-handedness of Ehud, it's a strength for him. And maybe sometimes in some of us here, we don't know our strength, but we can see like other people, they have that strength of hospitality. I think most Filipinos have that kind of strength in their life. They are hospitable. But some of us have the strength of like a physical strength. Or maybe some of us have a good conversational strength. So each one of us have a strength in our life that God give us. So we need to utilize. We need to use that strength, whatever it is. Amen? Can I hear an amen? Because each one of us have a strength that God has given us. There are so many strengths that we have. I see a lot of us in this church alone. There's so many strengths. But we need to utilize that. We need to see that this being implemented. And whatever the strength that we have, the question is this. Are we willing? Are we utilizing our strength for the glory of God's kingdom? See? Are we really using our strength for God's glory? You know, that's maybe the question for today. It's not because you're left-handed, because sometimes people say that, hey, you're left-handed here, you know. It's a negative, but for Ehud, he used that strength. That being left-handed is a strength for him. So whatever the strength we have, is the question is, are we utilizing our strength for the glory of God? Or are we using our strength to share the love of Jesus Christ with those that we are in contact with? Amen? Like the story about these two salesmen. Shoes salesmen. They were sent to Africa. And the one salesman, he says, you know what? When he arrived there, he sent a telegram to his boss in the United States. He said, you know what? Nobody is wearing shoes here. Don't even send your shoes. While the other one, he says, you know what? People here are not wearing shoes. Send everything. Every shoes that you have, send it here. See, there's two. The other guy said, you know what? There's no reason that these people are not wearing shoes. So don't even send your shoes. But the other one sees something different. He says, people here are not wearing shoes. So his mentality that these people will wear shoes. So that's why he sent his boss. He said, you know what? Send everything. Every shoes that you have, send it here. So what? I don't know if this was a true story, but one of the salesmen saw opportunity and take advantage of that strength. So are we utilizing our strength to be successful? Amen? So not only we have to ask God for help, not only that we need to utilize our strength, but also we need to have a plan. To have a plan for our life. Amen? See, we see the story of Ehud, that Ehud has a plan. We see that from when he made a double-edged sword, we see it how he concealed the knife and how he told the king he had a secret and how that God, the king, separated from the servant of the guard. But Ehud planned, did not stop there. He had a plan to escape and would leave enough time before the enemies found that the king is dead. In Judges chapter 3, verse 23, do we have that, Ken? It says, then Ehud went to the porch, he shut the door of the upper room behind him and locked them. Verse 24, after he had gone, the servant came and found the door of the upper room locked. They said, he must be relieving himself in the inner room of the house. They waited to the point of embarrassment, but when he did not open the door of the room, they took a key and unlocked them. There they saw their Lord falling to the floor, dead. While they waited, Ehud got away. So Ehud has a plan. From the time he made this knife to the time that he landed that knife in the belly of the king. So he has a plan. He had a successful plan and put it into action. And his plan got him to the king's court. His plan got him to the king. And his plan got the king killed. And his plan got him safely back to the people to assemble his army. And do you make plans and carry them through the completion? You know, when I was working with my master's degree in practical theology, there's one question that they asked us. One question is that, tell us a time that you started something and saw it through completion. It reminds me about when we moved into Bloomington, the house in Bloomington. I started putting a retainer wall at the back of the house. But until we left, I started maybe about 5 yards. But when we left the house, that retainer wall is not finished. It's not completed. And sometimes we have that. You know, we started something and we don't finish it. See, when we have a plan, it's not completed. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty for that. So this morning, I just want to encourage me. I hope you don't have that kind of a character that you started something and don't finish it. But in the life of Ehud, he started it from making that knife. And he implemented that plan to the point that he was able to escape from the guard or from the servant of Eglon. And he was able to go back where he came from. And he utilized, he encouraged the tribe of Benjamin to be ready. Amen? And I think we all have known people that have that great ideas, right? People that have great ideas but did not take the time to make a plan, and the plan never start. Amen? But I just encourage all of us that if we make a plan, try to accomplish it. Amen? So not only that we have to be, the first one is to ask God for help, but we need to utilize our strength and to have a plan. And lastly, number four is to, in order for us that plan is successful, we need to seize the opportunity. Opportunity. Amen. In Judges 16, verse 27 to 29, it says that Ehud arrived at his men, and he blew a trumpet in the hill of country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went down with him from the hills, with him leading them. Verse 28, follow me, he ordered, for the Lord had given Moab, your enemy, into your hands. So they followed him down, and taking possession of the fords of Jordan that led to Moab, they allowed no one to cross over. At that time, they struck down about 10,000 Moabites, all vigorous and strong. Not a man escaped. To hear, this is the moment. The king had been killed and their leadership was gone. Ehud did not hesitate. He assembled his troops and marched against the plundering group of people with no king. How about us? Are we seizing the opportunities that are before us? Are we seeing opportunities we have to share our faith in doing it? Often we cannot get a conversation started. And sometimes I'm guilty of that too. There's opportunity, but I missed it. Often we can get a conversation, but sometimes could not. God had called us to be a church in this place, in Loma Linda. So are we seizing opportunities? We have an opportunity. We have people walking by in our church every day. But we have an opportunity. Then lastly, at the end of this of the book, the chapter, it says, Shamgar, after Ahab came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down his 600 Philistine with an ox god. He too have saved Israel. Have you heard about Shamgar? No? He's one of the judges that God raised from the tribe of Benjamin. And he is an ordinary man. Probably just the same you and me. But probably he got these four steps for him to be successful. Even though he is not well known person. But he is in the book of life. Amen. So those are the things that I just want to share with us. Just to probably get ready for us. For whatever happened in next month. You'll never know. But at least he give you some kind of a starting point in our walk with God. Amen? Don't. First of all, ask for help. Pray. Amen? And not only ask for help, is that the second one is that we have to utilize our strength. Maybe your strength on teaching. Maybe your strength is on leading worship. Maybe your strength in singing. Maybe your strength in management. So each one of us have a strength that God has given us. Don't let that weakness that some other people think hinders you from seizing the moment. Amen. Shall we all stand? Again, Shamgar. He too saved the children of Israel. Amen. So those are the four steps that we can learn from Ehud. Is that we have to ask God for help, and that we need to utilize our strength, and we need to have a plan, and we need to seize the opportunity that God has given us. Amen. Can I ask the worship team to come back? Oh, hallelujah. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the story of Ehud and King Eglon that you have showed to us this morning. That there is things that we can learn from this story, Father God. And Lord, help us, Lord, to come to you, Lord, and to have that relationship, Father God. To ask for help, Lord Jesus, before we do anything, Lord, before we make our first step, Lord God, that our first step, Lord, is to come and ask for help, Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you, God. Thank you for this story, Lord, that you have given to us. Because we want to be successful in our plan for our life, Lord, plan for what's going to happen in the near future, Father God. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you, God, for giving us this four steps, Lord Jesus. And as you give us the five steps of the life of Joseph, Father God, to be successful in his life, Father God. And Lord, we see this, Lord, from Ehud, Lord. Your goodness upon your children, Lord Jesus. That when we come and we repeat the same sin, Lord. Father, help us, Lord, not to that our eyes is focused upon you, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you this morning, Lord. And we ask that you will be with us, Lord. That as we go our ways, that you will lead us, Lord God, through your Holy Spirit in our life. And as Father, as we bring our tithes and offering to you, Lord Jesus, let me be a joy in our life to bring our tithes and offering to your storehouse, Lord. That every need, Lord, will be met, Lord God, because of you, Lord Jesus, in our life. In Jesus' name.
Good job. Let's see, start off our...
I'm
What song is that? Oh, yeah, that's
dito lang sa baba.
Diyan po, tapos i-organize later.